Kasi puki juksi meto ta Rirabling sing degen pagi Sanges indu mikte uwagi Jokun nam dak sing la jokaso Hiram Guru Ratna Mandala Kamirya Chayami.
Let's continue. The second part is Four Infinite Thoughts. Let's read it first. May all living beings be freed from attachment to those who are close to them, and dislike with those who are far, and then may they find exceptional happiness. May they escape from the unbearable sea of pain, and never be without the highest happiness, the happiness of freedom. So, I believe most of you heard the teaching about the Four Infinite Thoughts. So I'll go faster. The Four Infinite Thoughts here are listed as first equanimity, which in Tibetan is tanyom. It is described as freedom from two things, really. One is freedom from attachment to those who are close, and the second is freedom from dislike to those who are far. So these are my people, my family, my friends, and I want them near me. I'm going to be near them and take care of them and care about them and not want to be separated from them. And then there's the other part, people I don't like, my enemies, people that I'd rather not have around me. I don't like them. I'm not going to care about them. That's the other side. Then there's a whole third field, which is not mentioned here, is those that are neutral, that I know nothing about, I don't care either way. There are no neutral people in this world. There are those people that are neutral for me because I just have ignorance, so I can't see them clearly. For the Buddha, there are no neutral beings. So this talks about may all beings be freed from attachment to those who are close and dislike to those who are far. And really, in there is ignorance, right? So really it talks about freedom from the three poisons of attachment, of dislike, and of ignorance. The Tibetans, when they come to the Four Infinite Thoughts, they practice each one of them with four points. The first time they go through the thought, may all beings be freed from attachment to those who are close and dislike to those who are far, first time they say, it's like the thought, how nice it would be if they all had equanimity. Like, oh, that would be nice. So that's the first step. And then the second step is, I wish that actually happened. I wish this would be actually that way for them. So it's a stronger intention. Not just, how nice, not just an appreciation for that, but really a strong wish that it happens. Then the third step would be, you know what? I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. I'll be the one to make this happen, to help them get rid of those poisons in their mind. And then you say, okay, how are you going to do that? Well, you need help. And then you pray for help. And then you go to your Lama for help. So four steps that accompany each one of the Four Infinite Thoughts. So the first thought was the thought of equanimity. And you can do it from two perspectives. One is, may I myself be freed from those poisons, and then the other one, may all beings also be freed from those poisons. I wish it equally on all beings, not only for those that I like. Then, the second one, may they find exceptional happiness. Exceptional happiness relates to immeasurable love. Immeasurable love is wishing that all beings achieve all the happiness they wish for. May they stop fighting among themselves. May they have all the happiness they wish. When you practice this infinite thought, remember four times of giving? The first one, equanimity, is the giving of protection. And the second is the giving of love, from the four types of giving. Then the third line, may they escape from the unbearable sea of pain. This is compassion. This is wishing to take away all their suffering and all the causes for suffering. Especially the suffering of the three lower realms. May they escape that suffering. And the Tibetan, even the English you have it, may they escape from the unbearable sea of pain. So that pain of the samsara is like a huge ocean. The Tibetan uses actually the word gyatso, which is ocean. May they escape from that ocean of unbelievably heavy suffering. And then the last one, never be without the highest happiness, the happiness of freedom. This talks about supreme liberation. It refers to the Buddha's truth of cessation, which is the highest of liberations, where all suffering ceased and all obstacles to omniscience ceased. So in this, the fourth one, we wish that kind of ultimate, amazing, unbelievable happiness.
The first one is protection, the second one
was love.
The third one is compassion, and the fourth one
is wishing them joy, wishing them ultimate liberation, not just any liberation, ultimate liberation. We'll get to this in a moment. What we just covered, the four infinite thoughts, I want to read it to you in Tibetan just once, so you get the blessing. Senchin tanche nirin chakdang dan drenne kepar pakpe devato soke dunye gyatso ledger te tarpa dampe dedan jemagir. Okay, so this was first page. Now comes this part, which is also part of the shared teachings on the Mahayana path. Now you can see immediately this whole thing is very, very heavy in Mahayana. Even if you just do this, the power is enormous. Next part. I'll start by reading to you. Tibetan is very beautiful. Jokon sishi jikpa ledrol chir zokpe jangchup topar dope sem dengne sungne sungte sangye matopar soki chiryang mitan sungwar gi. And let's read the English together. From this moment until the day I reach Buddhahood, I will keep the wish to reach total enlightenment so I can free every single being from the terrors of the suffering world and of a lower peace. I swear now that I would rather die than ever give up this wish. Sishi Jigpa. That's the Tibetan. Sishi Jigpa. Jigpa means fear, terror. Si in Tibetan is short for Sipa, which is life, which means the will of life, which means samsara. Shi is short for Shiva, which is peace. Shiva Lama Sishandinera. So Sishi Jigpa is the terror of samsara and of nirvana. So what's he talking about here? The terrors of samsara, we just talked briefly about them before, so we know what they mean. But what is the terror of nirvana? Why is nirvana a terror? It's a very important question. I'm going to free everybody from the terrors of samsara and nirvana. Well, it's talking about what we call lower nirvana. Lower nirvana is a state that we can achieve by practicing only wisdom. If we only practice wisdom, not accompanied by bodhicitta, not accompanied by the wish to help all beings, you can achieve a freedom by developing wisdom. But it will be a Hinayana Nirvana. It will be what we call a lower peace. Why is it lower? Because it's a very peaceful state that you can stay in for many, many eons And while you're staying in that state, you have not helped anyone. The beings are still suffering. So for a bodhisattva, this is a terrifying thought. A bodhisattva who is devoting their life to help beings, for them to fall into a state that can last eons in which they are unable to help beings is a terrifying thought. It's an unacceptable state. So they are praying to not fall into that state in this prayer. Very beautiful. Why are they praying to not fall into the state? Because it says, Jokun Sishi Jikwa Ledrol Cheer. Cheer means for the sake of. In logic it means because, but it's the same word. It's for the sake of. For the sake of Jokun. Jokun is all beings, all transmigrators, all goers, all beings who go in samsara between the different realms. Jokun Sishi Jikwa Ledrol Cheer. In order to be able to save all beings, please let me not fall into this state of lower nirvana, nor stay in samsara, because I'm very helpless in samsara. I can't do much as a samsaric being to help them. So in order to not stay there, I need to reach complete enlightenment. That's the next part. Zope jangchub topar dope sem. I need to develop the mind of complete enlightenment. In Tibetan, complete enlightenment is Dzogpe Jangchub. Dzogpe is complete, Jangchub is enlightenment. Jang by itself means purify. And Chub means to perceive the real nature of phenomena. An enlightened being had purified all their obscurations and had achieved the knowledge that perceives the real nature of phenomena. So that's what we're praying for here. In order that I can help all beings, may I achieve that mind that is free of obscuration and has the knowledge of all phenomena. Then it says, Dengne sungte sangye matupa. Dengne means from now on, until I reach enlightenment, may I never lose that wish to help all beings. This is the prayer here. From this moment, until I reach actually enlightenment, please may I be able to always keep this thought in my mind. So these lines express the prayer to have a steady bodhicitta in my mind. Because, you know, you can come to a class and hear such a teaching and be very impressed by the teaching. But then you go out and selfishness takes over and self-cherishing takes over and you say, okay, all right, nice, beautiful teaching, but... So this is a prayer, may I never lose that thought. May I never lose that thought. And it goes as far as it says, I swear now that I would rather die than ever give up this wish. It goes as far as that. It says, if I am ever in a situation where I have to choose between my life and giving up bodhicitta, may I lose my life. Now, of course, you are never really in that situation because bodhicitta is a state of mind and nobody can take that away from you. It's under your control. So why are they saying it that way? Just to express the huge importance of that, how important bodhicitta is. So, however, until we actually reach a genuine bodhicitta where our mind is totally suffused and immersed in bodhicitta, we constantly need reinforcement because our selfishness and self-cherishing will take over all the time. So that's why we need to do it 6 times a day, every day, until we reach enlightenment. Okay? 6 times every day. That's the purpose. And it's also like a vow that you have when you have taken the bodhisattva vows, even, not to speak of the tantric vows. So this is the wish for enlightenment. So, we did the refuge, right? The 4 infinite thoughts and the commitment to the wish for enlightenment. What visualization are we keeping? Same. We're keeping the merit field in front of us as we're going for refuge and we're praying to the lamas in the merit field to help us with creating our infinite love and infinite compassion and all of that. And to not lose our bodhicitta, to keep maintaining and growing our bodhicitta all the time. So next step goes even further and says, well, it's not enough to have the wish for enlightenment, even though it's amazingly beautiful, but that's not enough. Because just from wishing, there's still suffering, right? I may have the best wishes for the removal of their suffering, but they're still suffering. So the next step goes further. The next step says, I'm going to do something so that they stop suffering. I'll take it upon myself to do something to remove their suffering. I'm going to train myself so I can actually remove their suffering. And this is the commitment to the bodhisattva vows. The bodhisattva vows, as a person takes them on, is a statement of my commitment to act like a bodhisattva, to act in ways that will actually help all the beings. So this is called active bodhicitta, same refuge field, with the Lama in the center, appearing in the form of Buddha Shakyamuni. And again, as we say the next lines, we are imagining that we are repeating them after the Lama. The Lama in our visualization is saying them to us, and we are repeating them. And all the beings, our mothers, our fathers, everybody behind us, they're saying it with us.
Yeah. Actually, the commitment to act like a bodhisattva, actually you kind of tell the bodhisattva every day.
You are retaking them every day, 6 times a day. Yeah, and the second part, which we'll do Monday, we actually go through that. Oh, if you practice it, you'll memorize it very quickly. We do it every day 6 times. And there was a time that I was doing it in Tibetan, and I was doing the tantric part, so once you memorize it, the tantric version, which is longer than this, takes me between 15 and 20 minutes just to say it, if I don't sit down and go into the meditation. Over time, it came to 15. Just this, 7 minutes. If you just say it. But just saying it isn't that powerful. You have to actually do the visualization. It's much better to just say it than to not say it at all. Much better. But if you can do it as a practice, it's much more fun. So now, active bodhicitta. So who are we praying to? Who are we making the commitment to? It says lamas, victors, and their children. You do this like this. You hold your hands. They're in front of you, right? Lama gewa sechenam dakla gomba zedu sol jitar nungi desheki jangchuk tukni kepa dam jangchuk sempe labala deda krimshin metatar dakyan drola pendundu jangchuk semni kegishin jangchuk sempe labala prempashindu labalgi. Now let's do the English. Lamas, victors, and their children, I ask you to hear me. Those in the past who have gone to bliss first gained the wish for Buddhahood, and then they traveled and gradually reached, one by one, the things that the Bodhisattva must learn. To help all living beings, I swear I will do the same. I will gain the wish for Buddhahood, and I will learn one by one the things that the Bodhisattva must learn. And this part you repeat 3 times on the first round. Then you just go through, okay? So we are calling Lama Gelwa Sechenam. Lama Gelwa. Gelwa means the victors. The victorious Lama's victors and their children. Who are the children? The Bodhisattvas. So here is an interesting comment I just read yesterday, not here in a different Lama's commentary. Really, the texts say Lamas, victors, and their sons. So we are making it children to include women. It's better to say sons and daughters than children, because children, you have the connotation of little Buddhas, or maybe little ones. But the meaning here, the son is supposed to take over the kingdom. They are victors, they are the kings, right? The son will take over. So they are really not little helpless beings. They are beings who are getting ready to be kings. So you think in that way, children in that sense, heirs of the kingdom, the better sons and daughters. So They are in the merit field, part of the merit field or the bodhisattvas. That's why we put them there. You have the Buddhas and you have the bodhisattvas. And you beseech them to listen to you. Please listen to me. I'm coming to you. Please listen to me now. You have gone before me. You practiced the path. You went step by step. Wherever I am now, little me, you've been there. Then you practiced. And then you reached all those attainments. I'm going to do the same thing. I promise, I'll do the same thing. Whatever it takes. So what did they do? What did those Buddhas and Bodhisattvas do? First, they generated deeply in their heart the wish that they will do whatever is needed to help the beings. And then they practiced. They did the Bodhisattva vows. They practiced the six paramitas, the six perfections. They practiced. And step by step, with practice, they developed them and they perfected them. And so this is the step-by-step thing here, and I'm going to do the same thing. So the step-by-step is very important, because sometimes people think, oh, how do I compare to all those holy beings? Well, step-by-step, you'll get there. Step-by-step, you'll get there. They also got there step-by-step. They didn't just fall into that. Nobody falls into that. So here is what Rinpoche says. This is so beautiful. When he finishes this chapter, he says, when you generate the bodhicitta and take the bodhisattva vows, you receive such a precious jewel. He says, merely by doing this practice, every day as you do this succession practice, he says, you are receiving every day such a precious jewel. And what is that jewel? It's your own mind. You're polishing up your mind. Your mind is becoming a shining jewel, a pure jewel. But he says you have to keep at it, not letting degenerate from the state. So you have to keep doing that and keep developing your bodhicitta and grow your bodhicitta 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening. Keep strengthening your bodhicitta. There's this beautiful, beautiful, very short prayer for growing bodhicitta. Let's sing it. Repeat after me. Jan chup sem chok rinpoche. Chok rinpoche. Ma kye panam kye
gyurchi.
Ma kye panam kye voshi.
Kye wanyam pa me payam. Kye wanyam pa me payam. Om ne gong du pe wa sho. Jangchuk Sem Chok Rinpoche, the precious wish for enlightenment. Jangchuk Sem is the wish for enlightenment. Chok is the supreme wish for enlightenment. Rinpoche, precious. So the supreme and precious wish for enlightenment. Jangchuk Sem Chok Rinpoche. Makye Panam, the one that hadn't arisen yet, may it arise. So in people who did not develop that wish yet, may it arise in their heart. Kyewa Nyampa Mepayan, the one that has arisen already, may it not lessen, may it not degenerate. Gong Ne Gong Nupe War Shok, may it always grow, may it forever grow and grow. Yeah. Maybe you can have a translation that fits this tune, because this is so, so beautiful. This is for bodhicitta. It's the same tune they also sing for correct view. They also sing it for renunciation. Same tune. It's very beautiful to do it every day. The tripa. So let's finish this one. Yeah.
And then they travel.
Yeah. The word travel comes from you travel on a path. So they stayed on the path and they practiced it. But it's not in the Tibetan. It's just how Geshe-la chose to translate. In the Hebrew, I did not include that, right? I translated directly from the Tibetan. Okay, one more, and we'll be done for today. I'm going to read it to you in the Tibetan. Dengdu dakce jebuyu mi sipa lekpartop. Dering sangye riksukye Sangye sesu dagyur to. Dani daki chine kya, riktak tum te le tsante, hyome tsum te rik dila, nyok par mingyur detar ja. So the previous verse and this one, they come directly from Master Shantideva. First Panchen Lama just took it from Master Shantideva. Let's read it. Now, finally, my life has some meaning. Born as a human, today I have joined the family of Buddhas. I am a child of the Buddhas. And now, no matter what, I will undertake those things that fit the family I found. I'll never disgrace my pure and noble family. So it says, after you have generated bodhicitta in your mind, there are several instructions you need to keep to prevent it from degenerating. And I want to say it's so important to not allow bodhicitta to degenerate, because it is a treasure of all goodness. Bodhicitta is the ultimate cure. It cures everything. Here, I had asked Niran to print that reading from ACI Course 10, where you have Geshe-la's translation of Chapter 1 from Bodhisattva Way of Life, where Master Shantideva begins by praising bodhicitta. So I'm going to read you a few verses from there, which are in the readings of Course 10. It says, what kind of goodness could there ever be other than the wish for total enlightenment that could overwhelm those negative deeds of dreadful and awesome strength? So Master Shantideva says, nothing can overwhelm those mental afflictions and our bad deeds like the bodhicitta. Bodhicitta will purify them, overwhelm them. There is nothing as good. He says, the Lord among victors, like the Buddhas, the highest Buddhas, contemplated the question for many millions of years. As they were sitting, how can we help those beings who are constantly doing those bad deeds? And saw that this alone could be of benefit. Like this is their only rescue, is developing bodhicitta. It is this wish which allows a limitless mass of sentient kind to attain the highest form of happiness with ease. Easily, nicely, sweetly. Those who hope to smash the thousand pains of the cycle of life or to solve the unhappiness of every living being or bring them to the many thousand forms of happiness must never give up this very wish for enlightenment. So it's like a jewel. There's more, you know, our time is short. Go ahead and read it yourself. It's just so beautiful. I'm in love with those verses. I spent a long time translating them and teaching them, so I just really love them. Once they've succeeded in developing the wish for enlightenment, then even those miserable beings chained in the prison of cyclic life are in an instant referred to by those gone to bliss as their very own daughters and sons, and are worthy to be bowed to by the entire world of men and gods. You become such a high holy being if you have developed that wish in your heart. Keep this thing called the wish for enlightenment as firmly as you can. For like the highest form of alchemical elixir, it will transform this filthy body you've taken to the holy form of a victorious one, of immeasurable value, beyond all value. It's just so amazing, such an amazing thing. And it's so difficult to develop it because we are so selfish, and it's so easy to lose whatever little you have already gained. So this is why in this sixth session practice, it's included. It's such an important part of the practice. It's so important to do this. And so we need to learn how to strengthen it. And one way is to rejoice. Oh, I've taken the vows now. I committed myself to act like a bodhisattva. Wow, how fortunate am I. If we don't, that's what the Lama say, it will disappear. If we don't do that, it will disappear. This is why this is a daily practice. It's included here. Now my life has been given meaning. What made my life so meaningful? Without bodhicitta, it's meaningless. It doesn't matter what you do with your life. It doesn't matter how many people you heal, how many people you feed. It doesn't matter because they're all going to die and you too. It's meaningless. It will last for a moment in this infinite continuum of lives. It's just a little drop there. We just are so myopic because we're in it, so we think that's all there is, but it's just a tiny little drop. So that's why bodhicitta is just so meaningful for your life. And something unbelievably good will happen if you develop this bodhicitta. You'll be able to benefit not just one being or two beings or 20 beings, infinite numbers of beings you'll be able to help. I once heard a beautiful teaching. Take a lower arhat from the Hinayana. An arhat means they have conquered all their mental afflictions, right? So it's a very, very holy and high being. So they are Sangha Jewel. So they are able to guide me to that place, right? They are there. How many people are they able to guide? Well, they can have a few students. Maybe they'll bring them to Nirvana, if they're very good. Maybe 10, 20, 100. But there is an infinite number of suffering beings. An infinite number of suffering beings. They're all my mothers, right? So even becoming an arhat is low compared to bodhicitta. It's not low absolutely, but it's low compared to bodhicitta. Now we rejoice. Now that I have taken this commitment, my life is worthwhile. I have created meaning in my life because now I'm practicing for this amazing goal to make myself able to help infinite numbers of beings. So today I was born into the family of Buddhas. If you gain bodhicitta, it makes you a bodhisattva. You're not really a bodhisattva until you gain bodhicitta. And so you practice to become a bodhisattva. And that makes you, as we said before, spiritual son or daughter of the Buddhas. And you rejoice, you realize, oh, with these thoughts, with these commitments, I've become a son or daughter of the Buddhas. I'm now part of a very, very high and noble family. Rejoice, be happy. That's what he says. Be happy because what you're doing now is also according to the instructions of the Buddha. You're following now the teachings of the Buddhas. And Rinpoche says, think to yourself, before I took the vows, I completely wasted this time of my excellent human life. I got this excellent human form, and I completely wasted it. But now that I've taken this commitment, and I'm in this noble family, hey, I'm this very noble being now. Not only am I so happy about it, but also I make a resolution. I will act in every possible way just like them, just like the Bodhisattvas, just like the Buddhas. I will act according to these Thai teachings. And this is one way of preventing the deterioration of your vows and of your resolution is by thinking, oh, I'll practice just like those holy beings. Will make you happy to be in that lineage, right? Okay, so now that you have reached this point in the practice, you visualize this whole field melting into the central figure, which is your Lama in the form of the Buddha. Then he himself melts into a small light, and that light comes to your forehead and dissolves into you. And then you imagine that the holy qualities of the whole refuge field are now part of you. It's very beautiful. So you have received all these blessings of all this lineage. Now you yourself begin to dissolve. And you dissolve, they say, into emptiness. Now I need to be careful, because the visualization is you dissolve into light and finally empty. But this is not emptiness. This is physical emptiness. We're not talking about physical emptiness. So what does it mean you dissolve into emptiness? Well, if we remember that we are merely projections, it means that you are gradually withdrawing the way you are projecting the world and yourself into emptiness. From there, now you have an opportunity to arise as one of those holy beings. Because now you're a holy bodhisattva that is acting in this holy way. I think it's a good place to stop it. You're the holy being now, acting in this way. So I thank you very, very much. And we will continue to go through this part.
Sangye shindu mikte uwagi, chokur
Purnam Dakshindra Trupasho Hiram Guru Ratnamandalakam Niryatayami Ikevoku Sanam Yeshe Satoshi Sanam Yeshe Vetyumve Dampakuni Chopasho.
Thank you so much. For me, it's such a privilege to teach my Holy Lama's precious words.